I'm speaking today on the gifts of the Spirit. I told you last week I didn't know if I would do that because you start listing things and sometimes it can seem a little bit dry. But my purpose here today is not just to give you a list and a detailed description of each thing, but it is to do what we have been singing about, asking God to build His kingdom here, asking God to make us children of the kingdom, to make us more like Jesus. That, my friends, is a work of the Holy Spirit. And if we do not have the work of the Holy Spirit, we have no hope of accomplishing that. And if anything should be clear to you, we can operate in the Spirit of God without being perfect.
Amen.
Amen. Did you notice that everybody up front today had something where we would probably point to and say that that wasn't perfect? Why would we say it's not perfect? Because it didn't go the way that we planned it to. My friends, our plans are not perfect. I would like to say that the Holy Spirit is free to interrupt us any time He wants, and to do in us whatever He would have us do any time He wants. Not just here, but when you're in a hurry to get to the bank and God puts somebody in front of you who needs the Word of God and you say, I'll make the deposit tomorrow, I'm going to do what the Spirit led me to do right now. To put ourselves aside, to let ourselves go, just like we sang even in the Operation Christmas Child song. But I want you to know there is more than I can cover today. I did order these books. They're just small little pamphlets, and it's from Our Daily Bread, and the subject in it is being led by the Spirit. Very straightforward, very clear. You can read it at your own pace. They're on the information tables outside of both here. But let me give you a little taste. In the introduction, it tells you why I want to talk about this a little bit. Some of us have gifts and we know it, but we have let the progression of the gifts stop in us because we find that we are good enough, that we have traveled this path and we'll keep traveling this path, like making you sit down after we pray for the offering. We always did that, right? And I told you to sit down. But the Spirit had a different idea through Matt. See, we should also be willing to be corrected by each other, by the Spirit speaking through us. The second one is, some of you who are actually operating in your gifts, but you didn't know it was a gift that you were operating in, one that is legitimately listed in the Scripture. When you hear that and you identify it, that gives you the confidence to move forward in it and to get better at it. If you ask any musician, any performer, any preacher, any artist, any person that is in front of people, it is very rare that everything goes exactly the way that you plan. The worship team gets my outline for the sermon on Wednesday. It's undoubtedly sometimes baffling to them when they get here and it seems like it's completely different. It may have a different insight, a different reading, an illustration, or I may just go off on something else, and I trust that the Spirit will lead me in that case. Is the Spirit in my notes? Yes. Is that the final word of the Spirit in my notes? No. But in this book, there is an illustration that starts right off in the introduction, and it's about a French period drama film called Jean de Florette. Yeah, I'll look for that on Netflix. But what it outlines is a man and his greedy uncle who put subterfuge to a hunchback who has inherited a plot of land next to theirs. They grow expensive flowers and they are in it for more. So they actually go to this man's plot of land before he inherits it and cement in and cover with dirt the spring that waters the farmland. And he does fine lugging water a mile to do his farming, but eventually cannot keep up with it and does not even have a clue that the spring and that life-giving power is there. And they use that as an illustration of the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Each one of us, as a believer, has access to the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some may know it and ignore it intentionally because it's a scary type of thing. Some may not know that it is even there. My intention is to let you know it's there and to use it. But it says this: believers in Jesus have an inheritance that includes a limitless supply of power, the Holy Spirit living within us. But sadly, many of us never discover him and live powerless, exhausted lives. And there are those who oppose and conspire against us, so we remain unable to flourish, or we just give up. Yet who is the Holy Spirit, this power source to which every believer has access? And we know that the Holy Spirit is both an advocate and the one who leads us into all truth. My friends, because of our sinful nature, we have real problems discerning the truth. And you will see it, just go on social media and you'll see how many truths there are supposedly out there that oppose each other. But as we look at this, I want to tell you first off what the purpose of the gifts are. Some people have taken the gifts of the Spirit and say, and kind of done Christian one-upsmanship, even to the point where we will say, if you don't have this gift, then you may not even be a Christian, which I don't think is in line with the Scripture, because Paul says specifically not everyone has every gift. But people can have multiple gifts, and that kind of implies that you can have them all if you so choose. But the reason for it is in 1 Peter 4:11. The purpose of the gifts is that, and I now quote, that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. That's reason number one. It is not so people think that you are good or sinless or somehow better than them. It is so that God the Father is praised by bringing glory to Jesus Christ. Okay? Are we clear on that? The second reason for gifts is that it edifies the church. In 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 6, it says, many gifts exist, but it is the same Spirit that empowers them all. Now, let me ask you this. If we are given the Spirit so that we may cause people to worship the Father through Jesus Christ, and we're given those gifts for that, what happens if we don't use the gifts? We can assume the opposite, can't we? That we have trouble bringing people to see the glory of Jesus and therefore the glory of the Father. When we don't properly identify and use the gifts that we have been given, then the church languishes. I read the scripture for the prayer that if one part languishes, all of us languish. If one part is edified, we all rejoice with it. So therefore, it makes us as one body and one concern for one another. But in 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 6, it says this: there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So we can be seeing each other do different things, but glory in God because we know God is the one that's working just as powerfully in them as it is in us. Now, some people would say, I could never get up and do what you're doing, Pastor Mike. I could never get up and speak to people. And you're saying, thank God, right? But it may be that some of you were called that way. It may be that some of you were called to things that you don't know. And can I give you a testimony? I can look back and I can see in my life that God set me on the path for ministry before I even became a believer in Him. I could see Him working in me. Now that seems antithetical, doesn't it? That the Holy Spirit would be moving and kind of nudging me forward to do what God had called me to do for the future. And yet God knew that that was part of my discipleship walk. There came a time where I fully surrendered myself to Him, but you know, it was the rest of my life up to this point where I've had to relive over and again, giving up of myself. C.S. Lewis said, we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, quoting Romans chapter 12. And he said, the problem with a living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar. The only sacrifice that doesn't move is a dead sacrifice. So if we are not growing and being sacrificial to our God, then the question is, are we indeed living? Now, these are kind of categories. I want you to notice that there are gifts, things that are given that are outside of yourself, that cost you nothing but are valued greatly. There are different kinds of service. This is now outside of yourself, things that you do. Sometimes we think of the gifts as the things that are kind of, you know, spiritual and otherworldly. But the gifts of doing things here too, it can also be a gift. When we have a funeral dinner, everyone who shows up to set tables, everyone who shows up to coordinate the food, everyone who comes to clean up is performing a gift of service. And the question is, I mean, lots of people do a gift of service, but they do it for money. Number one, our people are not doing it for money. And secondly, though, are we doing it so that it edifies and glorifies God in the church? And if the answer is yes, then it is a gift. I had a conversation with a lady once, and she said, oh, yes, I have a spiritual gift. And I said, well, really, what is that? And she said, well, when I look at people, I kind of see auras around them. I see different colors and, you know, things like that. And I thought, that's kind of interesting. But because of what the scripture says, I know it's not listed specifically. But because of I know what the gifts are for, I knew how to answer, you know, to ask questions. And the question that I asked her was this. So, how do you exercise that gift to edify the church? What? I knew right then that it was not a spiritual gift that was being used for the church. Could it be? Yes, could be. God gives us discernment, spiritual discernment. We could look and see, maybe she could look and see and tell whether there is a light or a darkness in them. Maybe she could look and see that every person I see with that color has a trace of cancer somewhere in their body. Wouldn't that be helpful to know? Maybe she could see something where God's blessing is going to come upon them. If that is something that builds and edifies the church, perhaps it is a gift. But that is the filter that we filter it through. First through Scripture, and then through what the Scripture says. Is that clear? Who has a gift? This may help you identify your gifts, knowing that everybody has a gift. Everybody has a gift. What would Christmas look like if I did not give my kids gifts? If you think God in His great grace hands out gifts but has none for you, then maybe we need to talk about your attitude as to your relationship to God. If you just think He's a big boss handing out performance bonuses instead of gifts for His love for His children, maybe we need to, you know, to recalibrate that. He gives us gifts because He loves us, because He wants us to be edified and to grow and to come together in unity. So we have gifts. Maybe you didn't know that you had one. Maybe you didn't know that what you have is a gift. But 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11 clearly states that to each person is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, so that we can be better as a body, both this church and the church across the world. Operation Christmas Child is a function of the body of Jesus Christ, because there are different churches that pack things differently and it goes to different areas. But at the same time, in this church, we have people who have gifts to fulfill the needs that we need. But if you refuse or don't know or haven't entered into doing that gift, the rest of us suffer because of it. Scripture says that we are connected as a body, and if any part suffers, the rest of us suffer. Sometimes I will wake up and I will have, it's just very minor, because of the way, if I'm not paying attention, I will tuck my foot under my chair when I'm working. And if it's something that I'm really concentrating on, I'll put weight on it. The next day when I wake up, there's a slight, very slight inflammation in front of the balls of my feet. It's not pain. It's an irritation. But I don't walk on my foot the same way. The way that I walk, just because a little inflammation in front of the balls of my feet affects the rest of my body. You ever have a hangnail? Doesn't that change the way that you start lifting things and putting things? If you want to know if I have a hangnail, see if I'm leaving a finger out. You know, I pick something up like this. Oh, it changed my whole behavior because of it. Each person has a gift. Now the gifts, let me just list to you some of them, especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. Wisdom, the proper application of knowledge at the right time for the right purpose with the right attitude. Knowledge, not just book learning, not just going to college, but knowledge. Somehow, you know those people who always seem to know the right thing to do. When I was in Los Angeles at one point, I was sleeping there. I was in someone's home, and there was the Northridge earthquake. And I don't view myself, you know, I would never be an EMT. I think, I don't know what to do in an emergency. But when the house shook, and when plates were falling off the wall, they were the nice plates that were mounted there. Every piece of glass was thrown out of the cabinets and on the floor. I was in a study, sleeping on a cot, and I got pummeled by books. But I don't remember that, because after you get the first layer of books, the rest of the pummeling is on the books, right? And it was pitch dark. I remember the toilets flushing. Why? Because the water sloshed so hard, it thought that it was a flush, and all the toilets flushed. Pitch dark, I go to reach over for my trousers, and there are books on the floor, even with the cot. I finally dig out my trousers. I have no idea where my shoes are. And I get up, and one of the first things that I do is go to the water heater and turn the water off. Why? I don't know why I knew that. Because water heaters shake loose and flood the house. And then I walked outside and turned off the gas at the gas meter. And then we got everybody outside in a van. Do you know that earthquakes don't destroy your van? It has springs on it. Turned it on so people had heat, went inside, found one telephone, plugged it in, called Melanie and said, "Hey, when you turn on the news, just know that I'm okay." An hour later, the circuits were so jammed, I never could have made that call, and there was no such thing as a cell phone back then. In that moment, now, some people question whether I have knowledge many times between then and now, but for that day and for that time, I had knowledge. It is a gift of the Spirit. There is a gift of faith. This is going beyond just believing. You cannot believe. You cannot have faith in salvation in Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit. But there is a faith that goes beyond that. We're talking about the faith that moves mountains. There is the gift of healing. There is the gift of miraculous powers. There is the gift of prophecy. There is the gift of discerning between spirits, which I already talked about. The gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation. Each for building the kingdom of God. Now, Romans 12, 4 through 8 adds a few others. It does have prophecy, just as in the other one. By the way, prophecy is not simply saying, in the future, you know, the walls of Jerusalem will be torn down. That is a part of prophecy. But prophecy is taking what God is saying to His people and delivering it to His people. Have you ever wanted God just to say, do this? Just do this. I do, all the time. And sometimes God is that direct. But we have to be listening, but we also need people in our midst who have been listening to the Spirit, grown in that prophetic word, and been able to deliver it, then we can go to them and say, what do you think? We can bounce things off of them and hear even individually the word of the Lord. Discerning between spirits, tongues, and interpretation. But prophecy, service, as we've talked about, teaching, encouraging, generosity, and leadership, and acts of mercy. Now, that was our reading in Romans 12, 4 through 8. In this sense, for that particular reading, it inspired the title of the sermon, and that's The Rubber Meets the Road. Do you remember the old Firestone commercial? The name that's known is Firestone. Why? Because it's where the rubber meets the road. If the rubber isn't meeting the road, you're not getting anywhere. And it's the same things with the Spirit. If the spiritual gifts are not meeting full application, we're not going to get anywhere. If we refuse to engage the gifts, we might as well just say, all right, we're content with what we've got. And what we've got is good, but it is not what God has intended for us. 1 Corinthians 12, 26 to 31, I'm going to just say this one quickly because when we hear these things, we tend to take the word and exclude ourselves from it. And that is apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Okay? Now, tradition has said the apostles were the ones who walked with Jesus, knew His death, and knew His resurrection. That's traditionally what we knew. Okay? There were 12 disciples or 12 apostles, and that's it. We can't possibly be apostles because we haven't seen Jesus in the flesh and we didn't see the death and resurrection of Jesus. But Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, apostles is one of the gifts. And what an apostle does is not just preach the good news near, but also preach the good news far. That's why in the churches of God, our mission statement for engaging with missions is to bring the gospel to those who are near and far. Apostles are those who are far. If you've ever gone on one of the mission trips, that's far to a people who need to hear. So if I had asked you at the beginning here, how many of you think you might have the gift of apostleship? Probably no hands. But I would hope that if I asked you now, is there anyone here who might have the gift of apostleship? That there would be some. So don't hear the words and exclude yourself. Know that they are not only given to the Corinthian church, but they are given to us. Prophets we covered, teachers, self-obvious, miracles, gifts of healing, gifts of administration. Lord, don't we need those people in the church? But we need people who are good at administration, submitting themselves to God. The same thing with a shepherd. A shepherd is not just your pastor. Shepherding is different from being a pastor. A shepherd is a feeder, protector, and a guide. And finally, 1 Peter 4:9, the last one that I think is explicitly said, is the gift of hospitality. Hospitality both in your homes and hospitality within the church. Why? Ephesians 4:13. They're given until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Those who are going to lead us in our final song, would you please come and prepare for it? I want you to know that you might have a question in your mind, well, how do I get a gift? First off, you already have one. But if you don't know what it is, ask. Ask someone who can help you discern what it is. It might be something you're already doing and that you love doing. And you might look at it and go, oh, that's a gift of the Spirit? Yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome? It might be something that you have always dreamed of doing, but didn't know if you would get permission to do it. Is that a gift? Yeah. Self-evaluate. Are you open and ready to receive it? And how do you discern it? And then ask for it. And because Jesus said, and it applies to many areas, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And if you think that doesn't apply, Paul says, if you don't have some of the greater gifts, earnestly seek them.